And just before we get started, I want to dedicate this evening's Divrei Torah for Yischus Ilui HaNeshama for Rab Shalom Ruvain ben Moshe Yaakov Halevi. Unfortunately, he, among many others who have Yahrzeit at this time of year, are unable to have Kaddish said in their memory. So we hope that our Divrei Torah should be Ilui HaNeshama for him. You'll notice that when we talk about the Haggadah, the structure and the pattern that is mentioned in the Gemara is Maschil b'genus u'mesayim b'shevach. We know that we have a cycle and a pattern that is described throughout the pages of the Haggadah. There's a sequence to the story in which we tell. We start with the negative points in Jewish history, and we move to the glorious future of the Jewish history, which was the moment of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the moment of Kriyas Yamsev. And the truth is, this really is a microcosm of all of life. As we know, let's just think about ourselves here in the Five Towns. We had, for the most part, a wonderful life 2-3 weeks ago. Everything seemed to be going just fine. And people had wonderful jobs, and we had a beautiful shul, and a great community. And unfortunately, as we know, life is filled sometimes with alios and yeridos. Sometimes life has its ups, sometimes life, unfortunately, has its downs. Sometimes life has good and positive moments, and at other times, we know that life experience is one which is negative and which is unfortunate and unfavorable, not at all what we would have ever imagined. And that is really the construct of all of life. It's made up of all these ordeals, of all these experiences, and all of these events come together to formulate the lives in which we live. And this is really what Shlomo HaMelech tells us in Koheles. L'kol zman ve'eis l'kol chefetz tachas hashamayim. As we know, Shlomo HaMelech says, this is the accurate description of life. There is a time for everything. There is an eis laledes and an eis lamus. Unfortunately, we keep hearing about people who are dying. I also keep hearing about young children who are being born, and it's very conflicted emotions, and it's difficult to put it all together. But Shlomo HaMelech says, that really is the overall experience of what all of life is all about. Life goes in cycles, and life sometimes is in a rotation. And as they say, what goes around comes around. I always feel, as a member of the rabbinate in our shul, at the same time that you have couples coming to discuss issues of birth control, they're just getting married, they want to have some time to themselves, they don't want to worry about having children, and they want to know the halachic parameters of birth control. For every couple that comes to discuss those issues, we also have a couple that is discussing, unfortunately, the struggles of fertility. For every couple that's foreclosing on a house, you have another family that's talking about what kind of extension they're allowed to build on their house and all the different parameters of where they're going to put up the mezuzah when they have that extension made. So this really is the cycle of life. And as Jews, we are maschil b'genus u'mesayim b'shevach, but we understand that this really is all part of the whole composite of life. Rashi has an unbelievable comment in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, and there Rashi writes in the very first perek, Al tisyayish min haperanios, she'im ata ashir, says Rashi, if you are at the height of your own success, if you are a fortunate human being who is prospering, who is accomplishing, who is talented, who is really doing great things and giving great contribution to the world, says Rashi, Al tivtach be'ashrecha. Don't live a life being so presumptuous. Don't be so confident and so self-assured in everything that you think you have going for you. Lefisha ha'puranius memaheres lavo, says Rashi, it is inevitable that at some point, life turns. Life is made up of a very complicated set of experiences. And therefore, says Rashi, this is the reality of every human being's life. It's not something to be frazzled by. It's something that we know is the reality of life. And that really is what we try to highlight on the night of the Seder. There's an amazing comment of the Medrash when we're told about David HaMelech. There was a common custom in the days of Tanakh that when a king took upon himself the mantle of leadership, he would mint new coins to highlight his level of sovereignty, his level of ownership over the land, of over his people. And the Medrash writes that each one of them would try to depict in a picture on the coin what exactly it was that they stood for. So here the Medrash writes about David HaMelech. What did the coins look like? How did he mint his coins when he took on the mantle of leadership? Asks the Medrash. Matbeah shel David HaMelech was makil v'tarmel mikan. On the one side of the coin, he had his walking stick and his satchel, which was really to highlight those innocent, modest, simple moments of his life before he became the famous king, before he became the personality that all of us know today as David HaMelech. And on the other side of the coin was Migdal Nikan. He had the fortress, he had the citadel, David HaMelech's palace. And both of those were depicted on the two sides of the coin because that, said David HaMelech, is really the composite experience of life. That is what happens. And that is how life goes. And sometimes we don't expect it. Sometimes we don't think it's going to turn. But unfortunately, sometimes that is what happens. And on Leil HaSeder, we often want to make mention, we want to remind ourselves that that is the reality of life. The Jewish people have a glorious history. But not always did they have a positive memory. Not always did the Jewish people have that one moment of experience that was always something that they were looking forward to. There is a very complicated set of circumstances that we had to go through in order to become the people that we ultimately became. And that really is what we highlight on Leil HaSeder. At the very end of Magid, when I was growing up in my parents' home, every year, when we came to the very end of Magid and we got to the bracha of Asher Ge'alanu, every year my father and mother, both are very emotional people, but they would begin to cry when we say the bracha of Asher Ge'alanu. And this bracha really in some way wraps up everything that we try to encapsulate in Magid. And here we say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher Ge'alanu v'ga'ales avoseinu mimitzrayim. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say Hallel for all of the wonderful miracles, the Misha'asa Lavoseinu Velanu. And think about it this year. I mentioned it in the past, but think about it in particular this year. I believe, and I tell my wife this every day these last few weeks, I believe there's enough to be grateful for, the fact that we wake up in the morning, that we don't have symptoms, that we are healthy, and that we are alive. That is a miracle. That is a miracle in the current climate that we're living in. It's a miracle in the community that we reside in. Unfortunately, we have so many sick people who are struggling for life, whose families don't know what tomorrow will bring for them. And I wake up every day, the nights that I'm actually able to get a few minutes of sleep, I wake up every day and I say to myself, Asher Ge'alanu v'ga'alas avoseinu mimitzrayim. I cry every day when I say Ga'al Yisrael, because I feel I am living through a geula. Not because I believe Mashiach is going to come at the end of this, Mashiach is not going to come at the end of this. I don't know, I've watched all the same videos that you've seen. I don't believe anybody that thinks they know the answer to that. I'm not sure, we don't have Nevi'im today, so there is no way of knowing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do whatever he sees fit. What I do know is that for those of us who have the privilege and the great blessing and the unbelievable gift of waking up in the morning, of being able to know that our closest family and friends are well, are breathing, are not struggling, perhaps they still have a parnasa, which is also not a given today. That is enough to say, Ga'al Yisrael, God, I thank you for giving me a personal geula. Think about that this year when we say Magid, and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being the one that not only did all the miracles for our forefathers in Egypt, but also he is the one that continues to sustain us throughout all these long years of our galus and throughout the present, the experiences of the now, which seem to be very negative, which seem to be very bleak, and which are extremely complicated for all of our communities and all of humanity as a whole. So the Gemara there in Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, when it makes mention of this bracha of Asher Ge'alanu, the Gemara there mentions what seems to be an inconsequential, a very simple machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. The bracha, Rabbi Tarfon says, is, we thank Hashem for the great miracles that he did upon the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, that is not going to be sufficient. We need to do so much more than that. And what do we need to do? We need to also make mention of the fact that we look forward to the ultimate geula. Yes, we are grateful for all that we've experienced until this point, but says Rabbi Kiva, it would be insufficient to stop there. We need to make sure that we also make mention of Kein Hashem Elokeinu Yagienu. We hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also bring us to the day when we will have the opportunity to celebrate, to rejoice in the Beis Hamikdash. Habayim likraseinu l'shalom. Smeichem b'vinyan yirecha. That is the climax, says Rabbi Kiva. That is the crescendo of all of Magid. That is what we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. It is not just what we experience, but it's what we look forward to as well. And then he says, we end off by saying, Ga'al Yisrael. Now again, it seems to be a machlokas that doesn't have too much significance. It seems to be a technical discussion, but I believe that there's so much important meaning that really stands behind this machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. And let me explain what I mean by that. The Medrash tells us in the Sifri and Sefer Dvarim that there were four personalities in Jewish history that lived a life of shleimus. So the Medrash writes, there were four personalities that lived a complete life of 120 years. The first one was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that he lived ben mea ve'esrim shana anochi hayom. He lived 120 years. He was followed by the great Hillel HaZaken, who also was a paragon of leadership. Hillel HaZaken was the one who influenced generations, and so much of his leadership is what guides our Torah Shebaal Peh of today. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who also was one of the leaders of the Jewish community in his time. And finally, Rabbi Akiva. Says the Medrash, these four personalities lived a life of complete and absolute shleimus, of 120 years, achievement, fulfillment, unbelievable accomplishment. That was Rabbi Akiva, on par with the great Moshe Rabbeinu and the other great leaders. As we know, if you look through Chazal, you will see that Rabbi Akiva lived through horrific devastation. Rabbi Akiva lived through the Churban Beis Hamikdash. He lived at a time when the Jewish community was probably at its most profound sense of despondency. There was destruction everywhere they turned. There was a Beis Hamikdash that was burned down. There was terrible depression. There was hopelessness. And what was the job of the Jewish leader at that time? What was the opportunity that he had leading the Jewish community, living through the Churban Beis Hamikdash? Rabbi Akiva knew, the only job that I have right now and the only thing I can do is to lift up the spirits of the Jewish community, to raise and to elevate their way of thinking, and to try to make them come out a little bit more positive, a little bit more optimistic. And Rabbi Akiva gracefully stepped into that role. The Gemara in the end of Maseches Makos famously tells us the story that Rabbi Akiva was once traveling with a number of his friends, a number of his colleagues, and when they got to the Makom HaMikdash, when they came to the place of Churban, when they saw the Makom HaMikdash in a state of despair, they realized that this was a terrible tragedy, and all of them began to cry. Hischil Rabbi Akiva Mitzachek, the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was positive, and he found something positive, even in this dark cloud that they were all experiencing. And Rabbi Akiva explained to his friends why it is that he was feeling okay about what it is that he saw, what it is that they all experienced, to the point that in the end he was successful, and they responded by saying, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva, you have successfully calmed us down, you have given us, you have granted us a tremendous nechama. Now the Maharsha asks on that Gemara, don't we know that when somebody passes a makom of churban, if you see the Beis Hamikdash b'churbana, we must absolutely rip kriya. That is the din that is recorded in Shulchan Aruch. So how is Rabbi Akiva in a positive mood? And says the Maharsha, of course Rabbi Akiva rip kriya, but that is the complexity of human life. At the same time as one is able to rip kriya, they are also able to feel a sense of optimism. At the same time that there are moments of life that are painful, that are difficult, that are extremely complicated, Rabbi Akiva reminds us that there is always a way that we can shift our perspective. And that is a choice that we are all given. That is a choice that we are all able to make on our own. And Rabbi Akiva encouraged his friends and encouraged his entire generation to begin to think in a positive way. Think a little bit more about what happened after Pesach. As we know, we're about to experience Pesach, and it is Zman Cheruseinu. We have to try our best to feel a sense of Cherus, even under the conditions when we feel we're on lockdown. But we feel a sense of Cherus because we are Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Ela Mi She'osek BaTorah. We have a sense of Cherus because we are believers, because we have what to connect to. There are so many out there who have nothing to connect to, who have no faith, who have no community, who have no belief. And we, as painful as it may be, not to be with our loved ones, not to be with our family, not to be with our friends, we understand that we are part of a larger whole, and that should give tremendous comfort. That is a sense of cheres. That is liberating to know that we always have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we always have our people, and that we always have our faith. Immediately after Pesach, as we know, we observe days of Avelus, and that is to commemorate, like the Gemara says in Yevamos, the Misas Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Now, we've all heard the story about how Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 students passed away. When was the last time you actually ever thought about the magnitude of that loss? 12,000 pairs of students. If you do the simple math, he was going to a few hundred Levayas a day. Can you understand what that means? I looked online last night after Shabbos to see what happened, and I saw that there was an announcement that 11 religious people passed away in New York over Shabbos. I was devastated. I was horrified. I happened not to know any of them. But it was a horrifying news item to see. And I shouldn't call it a news item. It's not news. It's horrific. And yet Rabbi Akiva woke up every day to hear about 300 or 400 of his Talmidim that had passed away in a span of 33 days. Can you imagine the line of Yesomim and Yesomos, young children who were probably lined up outside Rabbi Akiva's door because they had no money to support themselves, because they didn't know how they were going to live the next day of their lives? Do you know how many almanos were probably in shambles? And Rabbi Akiva, all of his Talmidim, his entire life's work, his whole vision of what he wanted to create, what he wanted to build, the citadel of Torah that he worked so hard for generations to create, was all destroyed. It was all taken apart in such a short span of time. And that is a tragedy. And that is a reason for us to mourn. That is what the days of Avel by Sfiras HaOmer are all about. And yet the most amazing part of the story is one that probably we don't often focus on. And that is that the Gemara says, the very next day, Rabbi Akiva picked up, and he went Eitzel Rabboseinu Shebedarum, and he said, I will not give up. I lost everything I tried so hard to build. I've lost all that I've created. And yet, that should not stop me from being a functioning human being and seeing something positive in the world that I'm still able to infuse into humanity. He goes the very next day and he finds 5 innocent, young, wonderful students who are willing to listen to him, who are willing to learn from him. And by the way, the Gemara says these 5 Talmidim are the ones who were the pillars of all of Torah Shebaal Peh as we know it. Mishnah, Sifra, Sifri. All that we know from Torah Shebaal Peh is basically from the foundation of these 5 Talmidim. And that was the tremendous leadership of Rabbi Akiva. His sense of resilience, his determination and his faith, and his tenacious feeling that we will always be able to persevere. Maslel beginus u'mesayim b'shevach. Something positive is always able to come out. The Jewish people are able to rebuild. We are able to restore ourselves and our faith, and we can all together come once again to be the composite whole that we are meant to be. Reb Tarfon, one of the contemporaries of Rabbi Akiva, writes a famous line in Maseches Kiddushin, where he says, "Kol haporesh mimcha keporesh min hachayim." Anyone who is not privileged to have the opportunity to spend time with you, Rabbi Akiva, is as if they don't have life. And I believe Rabbi Tarfon is saying a historical comment that Rabbi Akiva, without your optimism, without your perspective, without your outlook, where would we all be? You are, I would say today, you are the world's greatest, most famous, most successful psychologist. That was Rabbi Akiva, the one who was able to give faith and understanding and frame of mind to everyone who was living at the time. He was able to do that on such a grand level, on such a grand scheme, and yet he was successful in doing that. And said Reb Tarfon, one of the greats of his own, "Kol haporesh mimcha keporesh min hachayim." If we don't have you, Rabbi Akiva, who knows where we would be? My father told me once a very beautiful comment of Rav Soloveitchik, and that is that we have a Gemara in Maseches Yuma, very famous words where we're told, "Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, lifnei mi mi atem mitaharim umi mitahar eschem." Who is it that gives you a sense of purity? Who is able to be mitaher you? And Rabbi Kiva says, it is Avichem Shabashamayim. My father told me that Rav Soloveitchik once explained in the Shir that the understanding of that sentence is, this is Rabbi Akiva. Imagine, the first Shabbos after Churban Beis Hamikdash, somebody mistakenly does an Avera B'Shogeg, and he says, oi, the way life used to be is, I brought a carbon, I was able to be Mechaper, I did an Avera, I didn't mean to, I want to just get a Kapar, be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now I've lost that opportunity forever, there's no Beis Hamikdash, what's going to be? People believed that their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was once very close, but now was no longer existent at all. And Rabbi Kiva gives faith and gives hope, and he says, I promise you, Lifnei mi atem mitaher, umi mitaher eschem. What gives you kapara, what gives you the opportunity to have closeness and a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam is not the Beis HaMikdash. It is not his karbanos. It is the Ribono Shel Olam himself, and all you need to do is recognize the fact that it's Avichem Shabbat Shamayim. If you connect with him, you have it all. Which should come as no surprise at all. One of my great teachers in Yerushalayim, Rav Mordechai Kalbach, he wrote the Svarim Chavatzelas HaSharon. If you've never seen them, you should look at them. They're amazing. And Rabbi Kalbach once shared with me an amazing insight that really fits into this entire theme. Rabbi Kalbach said, and this is a question that many Mefarshim ask, but he gave a beautiful answer. We know in the night of the Seder, one of the stories that we mention in the Haggadah is Maisa, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfa. These five Chaverim, these five contemporaries, were all sitting together one Pesach night in Bnei Brak. And they were all reciting Kriya Shema together, and they were all talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, and they almost missed the Zman Kriya Shema. And it's a beautiful story, and all of our children have a lot to say about it, but the obvious question is, what were they doing in Bnei Brak? Number one, if you'll say they went to sit by Rabbi Akiva who lived in Bnei Brak, we know that Rabbi Lazar was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. So why would the Rebbe go spend Pesach by his student? It should be the opposite. Rabbi Akiva should have some respect for his Rebbe and go spend Pesach by Rabbi Lazar's house. And furthermore, the Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah Daf Lamed Zayin that Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that no one is allowed to leave their homes on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is family time. It's not a time to go to Uman, and it's not a time to be traveling away from our family. Yom Tov is a time to be with our families, says Rabbi Lazar, and you have no right to give away that family time. You are meant to stay home with your family. Well, if that is Rabbi Lazar's statement, how was Rabbi Lazar himself able to violate his own principle and go away from his own family and spend Yom Tov by the home of Rabbi Akiva? And the answer Rabbi Kalbach said is, perhaps this was the Pesach immediately following the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Can you imagine? Tisha B'Av happens, there's a terrible devastation, and now the Jews all turn to themselves the following year, not even a year after that terrible destruction, and they say, how are we going to feel Zman Cheruseinu? You know, many Avelim, unfortunately, in our community called me before Purim and said, what am I supposed to feel? Purim is a very festive time. I'm an Avelis. I don't feel any interest in giving Shalach Manos and having a Sudas Purim and celebrating with my children. And it's very complicated. It's very difficult. Imagine on a grand scheme, the entire Jewish people is devastated. And they are depressed. And they're wondering, how are we going to feel Zman Cheruseinu when we were all just kicked out of our land, when we destroyed a Beis HaMikdash? How are we going to feel a sense of cheres, a sense of simcha, a sense of oneg? How are we going to experience that? And the only answer that they all came up with is Rabbi Akiva. Let us all travel to the home of Rabbi Akiva in Bnei Brak, because he is the only one in our generation who can potentially shift our perspective and give us the opportunity to see positive, even in this painful celebration of Pesach that we are going to have this year without a Karban Pesach, without a Karban Chagiga, and without a Beis HaMikdash. And my father told me perhaps that is why Rabbi Akiva says, the bracha of Asher Gi'alanu is insufficient. It is not enough to say, we thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for all that you did for us when we came out of Mitzrayim. We need to add a very critical component onto all of that and say the following. Kein Hashem Elokeinu Yagienu L'Moadim V'Lir Galim Acherim. Yes, we understand. Maschul Beginus U'Messiah B'Shevach. Jewish history is very complicated. There are moments when we have a lot of pain. There are moments when we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We do not know what will be with our future, personally, communally, professionally, or in so many other ways. This community is splintering apart because of what's going on. And yet, Rabbi Akiva says, when you think about all of that, don't ever forget, we always need to look to the future and be positive and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kein Hashem Elokeinu Yagiyenu L'moadim V'lirgalim Achirim Habayim L'krasenu L'shalom. We know that those days will come. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow us to have that experience and to have and share that opportunity. And that is what we all look forward to with a confidence, because that is this cycle of life. That is what Shlomo HaMelech told us in Koheles, La kol zman ve'eis l'chol chefetz tachas hashamayim. Life is a circle. Life is many different experiences that all come together to be one composite whole, which is the complicated lives that all of us live. On the night of the Seder, we know that one of the most important aspects of the Seder is we need to eat marah. A very painful shaila that we've already gotten a few times is some of the COVID patients this year who are well enough not to be in a hospital but are still having very serious symptoms are unable to have a sense of taste in their mouths. And they have asked, are they in fulfillment of the mitzvah of maror when they cannot taste anything as they eat it? Are they in fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah when they are unable to taste that? What a painful shaila. How many people have asked the Shaila already about whether or not they're allowed to say Borei Mine Bisamim on Matzoi Shabbos now or in the future, when unfortunately they are unable to smell the Bisamim? Such painful questions that we never fathomed we would actually be dealing with. You learn some of these halachas in Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara, and you never think that you're actually going to have to put them into practice. But we know that Achilas Marer is one of the most important items that we do in the middle of the Seder. And the Chasam Sofer writes, I believe it's in one of his tshuvas, I did not have a time to look it up today, but I believe that the Chasam Sofer writes that one of the minim, one of the items that is acceptable for maror is, as we know, chasa. The Gemara says that you can use lettuce as an acceptable means of maror. Why can you use lettuce? Doesn't seem to be bitter. That's a whole discussion in the Achronim, but the Gemara certainly says that chasa is one of the options that is certainly going to be acceptable. And the Chasam Sofer writes that the word chasa, ches samache, stands for chas rachmana alan. Writes the Chasam Sofer, as you eat the maror, don't forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has always had pity on us. And even in those moments of maror, even in those experiences of life that don't seem positive at all, always remember, chas Rachmana Alam. There is a remez as well. One of the minim, one of the items that is usable for maror is tamcha. Taf mem chaf aleph, says the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, can be used for maror. And one of the achronim says that that stands for tamid misaprim kivod kael. Even in those moments of great despair, even in those maror moments of our lives, we always remember tamid misaprim kivod kel. We take solace in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there for us, is always a major part of every aspect of our lives. Ki kel pol Yeshua's ata. Some say that one of the Maharil, I think, writes that one of the minim for Mara is afya. That's what they used to call it. I don't speak German, so I don't know exactly what it is, but aleph fe yud aleph. And they say in the name of the Maharil that that stands for Kikel Poel Yeshua's Ata. We learned from Rabbi Akiva, who is so much a central theme of Leil HaSeder, that we have the opportunity to be positive, as negative as things may seem, and we cannot escape the reality of the lives that we are in now. Things are difficult, things are painful, things are horrific, and sometimes extremely devastating. But we know Kikel Peol Yeshua Sata. We know that Chas Rachmana Alan. Last week I had a very difficult time because on Thursday evening I was asked to speak for a brief few moments to the campers of Camp Simcha. For those of you who know and who attend my shiurim, You're familiar with the fact that Kem Simcha has a profound impact on my life. And I was petrified to speak to many of these young girls who are legitimately scared of what's going on now. All of them are immunocompromised for many different reasons. It was scary for me to speak to them. I didn't know what to say. But one of the things that hit me was these young women, what I'm most inspired by every summer when I've been in Camp Simcha spending time with them is the fact that they have a life that has a deep and dark cloud over it. And yet they are the most positive people you will ever meet. What I said to them on the call last week was, there's a difference between people who say you should have emunah, who say you should have hope, and people who actually are able to live a life of hope. It's not the same. And I challenge them as ambassadors, as people who live entire lives of optimism and hope with the most difficult and the most painful of circumstances, I challenged all of them to share their experiences with the rest of us, to be able to share their hope and their positivity with all of us. Because for many of us, it's hard. It may be the first time that we're dealing with such tragedy, with such devastation, with such complicated sets of circumstances. But know that there are those Rabbi Akivas in the world. Know that they didn't die a few thousand years ago. Know that those people still live today. They live every day with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They live every day being positive. And they live every day thinking about that end of Birchas Asher Ga'alanu. When we say that we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yagiyenu L'Mo'adim V'Lirgalim Achirim Habayim L'Krosenu L'Shalom Smeichim B'Binyan Yirecha V'Sasim B'Avodasecha V'Nochal Sham Min Azvachim U'Min Hapsachim. Amen. I'm now going to